Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
803-0550 to join us. It's the Dolphins for week two, and the Bills will be in South Florida on Sunday. We're going to the Western Hotline. Cameron Wolf covers the Dolphins for ESPN.com, and he is joining us right now. Cameron, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing all right, man. Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing all right. Thanks for coming. You know, the Bills win, and it's a good week, Cameron. So I'm pretty easy to predict. So the Dolphins, before we break down what happened against New England, Cameron, it was an offseason when they spent quite a bit of money. They brought in some big names on the defensive side of the ball. What were the expectations for the Dolphins going into the season for 2020? Let's start there first.
It depends on how much optimism you had on this group. Because, look, they're still in year two of a rebuild. And at some point last year, they were, you know, the worst team in football. So I think that you have to be careful with your expectations. And I think a lot of, you know, realistic fans and media were careful with their expectations. For me, I predicted 7-9 going into the season. I thought that would be a good jump for them, and I still do. I don't think they're in position to compete with the Bills and the Patriots of the AFC East just yet. I think 2021 is their year. So I think that was realistic expectations going into the year for this team. But like you mentioned, with all the talent, with all the talent they brought in free agency in the draft, there's a lot of optimism that, you know, this thing is going to be turned around for the long term.
I ask that because I think it sets up the Tua conversation. And when will Tua play a weekly conversation in Miami? I bring it up because I think some of the context of that discussion is, did you think with Fitz they were, you know, were they thinking contending for a playoff spot? And that's why I was curious about that before I got to your Tua question.
Yeah, it's a daily conversation, depending on who you ask. I mean, everybody wants to see Tua. Tua is always a topic of conversation. But I think from the Dolphins' perspective, this is Ryan Fitzpatrick's team until he proves significantly that he's not ready for it or can't handle it. I don't think that he's going to have a short leash. I know people thought, you know, is it Tua time after last week? You know, we asked Brian Flores because that's our job, and he quickly said no, Fitz is starting this week. I think if you had 3 or 4 weeks like Ryan Fitzpatrick had in week one, then I think you get a little stirring, and then, you know, the questions become a little bit tougher to answer. But I think for the most part, you're going to see Ryan Fitzpatrick in the early part of the season. I don't think you'll see Tua at all in September, and Ryan Fitzpatrick will have to play really poorly for you to see him, you know, in the first half of the year. So I think their plan is to let him sit, continue to develop. He hadn't had a full off season. I do think that you'll see him at some point in 2020, but more likely than not, it's the second half of the year rather than the first half of the year.
You wrote in one of your articles about the, generally speaking, a lack of offensive firepower. That, when you look at the overall team, is that the biggest problem with the 2020 Dolphins?
I'd say so. I think that, you know, and I actually think it's a good thing for the Dolphins that that's their biggest problem. Because last year they were getting embarrassed in the trenches on both sides of the ball. And one silver lining for their unit this past week was their offensive line, which is completely revamped, looked better. But that being said, they do have a lack of juice, as I would describe it, on the offensive end. You know, they've got Devontae Parker, they've got Preston Williams, but both of those guys are jump ball receivers. They lacked some speed on that offensive end, and their running game didn't have much juice either. So it seems like if you can neutralize their ability to kind of play those 50-50 jump balls, then there isn't much the Dolphins can do to get their offense going. So that's something where we prioritize the trenches this offseason, which I think was smart. But they're a year away from getting those playmakers they need to sort of help the quarterback out on offense.
What's in terms of their running game, is it a committee approach? And part two of that, who is Miles Gaskin?
Yeah, I've been getting that question from every single fantasy person that I know this past week, even some of our own analysts. He's a second-year back. He was a seventh-round pick last year. We didn't really expect him to be their elite back week one. You know, he had a really good camp, much improved, but he's been running with the threes. You know, Jordan Howard and Matt Breida were expected and are still expected to be the lead two backs in Miami. You know, Jordan Howard's the bruiser, the guy who can take your power backs, your first and second down and goal line situation, whereas Matt Breida's your passing down back, your third down back, your hurry-up back, who can handle that. So it seemed pretty split on those two, but Miles Gaskin has worked himself into the conversation. I don't expect him to get that sort of workload again this week against Buffalo. I think you'll see more Jordan Howard and more Matt Breida, but he's definitely earned a role, and I think it's more of a three-back system rather than any of the guys becoming the guy in the Dolphins' backfield.
Cameron, the defense coming out of the New England game, the run defense specifically, was the big story. So why did they have the issues they had in terms of their inability to stop the run this past Sunday?
Yeah, I wrote about it on Tuesday. It was crazy to see, but they honestly just looked unprepared for the amount of read options, zone reads that the Patriots were running with Cam Newton, which seemed, you know, Cam's game was really been predicated most of his career on the run, but I think the zone reads was what really got them. There were several times where the Patriots had him in the zone read, and you know their edge players and Shaq Olsen in particular was caught with his feet in the sand, and it was really indecisive. You know, guys making the wrong decisions, guys making no decisions. And the Patriots just kept running it over and over again and beating them at it. You know, they ran the ball 42 times out of 63 snaps against the Dolphins last week, you know, 2-1 on run the pass. So they found something they really wanted to exploit, and they kept going for it. And they ran the ball for 217 yards. Cam had 75 yards. And a lot of it was just, you know, just wrong angles, you know, taking bad routes to the ball carrier, making poor decisions. So, you know, the coaching staff believes it's fixable, but you've got Josh Allen coming this week. I know he ran the ball 14 times last week. I know Bills fans probably don't want to see their franchise quarterback, you know, running, but if I was a Bills offensive play caller this week, I would say this is going to be a Josh Allen carrying the ball week and see if they can stop it.
Well, they haven't. See, that's the other thing, too, I found intriguing about, first off, like your point about Newton, why would you be surprised that Cam Newton ran the ball? You know that's what he can do. And Josh, in his four games against the Dolphins, as you know, Cameron, he's been good passing the ball, too. But he's been very effective with his legs. And after I saw the stats and you writing about the issues they were having on the zone reads and dealing with Cam Newton, I thought, you know, for sure the Bills are going to see that. And you'd think Miami's going to spend a lot of time this week trying to make sure the quote-unquote keep Josh in the pocket game plan works.
Yeah, that's been the talk all week. In fact, I talked to Bobby McCain earlier this week, and he said that they're already going to the drawing book with Josh Allen, and their goal is to make him one-dimensional and, you know, to take out that run game. But, you know, again, that was their goal with Cam Newton. So, you know, I don't know if it's a different plan. I know one thing that I noticed kind of watching the tape was they stayed in their nickel and dime defenses pretty long. And I know that, you know, in this modern NFL, you want to be a heavy nickel and dime team. But the Patriots really took advantage of that. So I wonder if we see more base package for the Dolphins this week. They spent a lot of money on corners, so that's the strength of their team. They want teams to throw it on them. But sometimes teams aren't going to do what you want. So I think you're going to see them adjust and play a lot more base coverage. Maybe they get a little bit more disciplined on their keys on the zone read, and maybe they can be more effective. But I, like I said, if I was Buffalo, I would make them prove it before I believe that they got this thing fixed.
Final thing for you, Cameron, and I think what you just said about the base package, I'm hearing that and thinking, okay, that could also play into the Bills' hands with Diggs and, you know, the improved passing game. I looked at it and thought, okay, their secondary is good in Miami. If you looked at their pass defense, how would you assess that portion of their D?
Yeah, that's actually the strength of the team. They're number one in pass D right now, but a lot of that's because the Patriots didn't throw the ball much or challenged them much at all. But, yeah, we actually just talked to Brian Flores maybe about 15, 20 minutes ago, and he said that he felt like the Bills have one of the best receiver groups in the NFL. And he said that he expects the Bills to challenge them more, their corners, than the Patriots did last week. So he seems to think that it'll be a little bit more balanced than the Patriots did last week. You know, they signed Byron Jones to a big-time deal. He's one of their corners on the outside. Xavier Howard, who's been here for his whole career, is coming back from a knee injury. He only played about 40% of the snaps in week one, but Flores said he'll play more this week. And then they got Noah Igbinoghene, who they drafted in the first round, who's a very physical corner who's going to be playing a lot in the slot. So they feel like they can man up, and that's what they want to do. They want to play man coverage. They feel like they can man up any receivers in the league. So I think they would, if they had to pick their poison, they would rather the Bills take their chances with them against their corners than have to defend Josh Allen running, you know, 15 times a game.
Interesting. All right. Hey, Cameron, I know you're busy since you just had the presser with Brian Flores. Thanks for giving us some time this morning. Appreciate you coming on with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.